In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Any change in our lives is a call to repentance. Surgeries, cancer battles, losing loved ones, even marriage and having children are calls to repentance. They remind us how weak we are, how inept we are. Life can change in an instant and we are helpless. And so we went to God's house. It clarified our vision. We gathered around to hear God's word and to eat his body and blood. This is our compass. This is our strength. More than that, it gave us the eternal gifts of God. It's who we are. It defines us. We are the people of God who gather around the Lord's altar to listen and to eat. Perhaps that is why this epidemic has been so difficult. We can't gather. God has made us fast. He allowed this virus. He could have prevented it, but he didn't. He restricted our access. Throughout Lent, we have been fasting from certain foods and certain activities, but we chose those. This we did not choose. God put us on a fast from our family and our friends, from our sports and our activities, from our work and from school. He has even put us on a fast from the Holy Supper. And we didn't get a say. We did not choose. He did it. He restricted our access. He took these things away from us. Like Judah exiled to Babylon, Sunday morning rolls around and we sit away from our home in a foreign place doing strange things. Certainly, this is a call to repentance. Where have we sinned against God? What do we trust to help us? Have we taken the divine service for granted, or viewed the Holy Supper as a common thing? What a privilege it had been to congregate with the people of God around the Lamb who was slain for us. What blessings God bestowed onto us as we heard his word and ate his body. It was otherworldly. For a brief moment, heaven touched earth. Triumphant saints gathered with us. Cherubim bowed with us. Seraphim sang with us. We expected the holy vessels would glisten on the altar of God. We praised and worshiped and thanked him, but chiefly we received eternal gifts from him. We'd assume we'd always have access to this whenever we wanted. So if we're busy this week, we can always go next week. But then next week never came. Quarantine. Stay at home. Pulpits are empty. The sanctuary quiet. The vessels stored away. Our feasting has turned to fasting. We do our best with the virtual presence, but it's not the same thing, and we shouldn't pretend. It's not the real presence. God has restricted our access. Have mercy on us, O Lord. But still, today is the day our Lord instituted the Holy Supper. So we will ponder this most blessed meal. Let us clarify our thoughts and deepen our knowledge as we eagerly anticipate the day we can once more kneel side by side to eat and to drink. There are two kinds of eating in this supper. One, by faith. We receive the body and blood of Christ and all the blessings by faith. The other is with our mouth. We eat Jesus' body and blood with our mouth. Let us deal with that second one first. The bread is not a symbol of Christ's body, but it is Christ just as he said. All who eat the consecrated bread eat Jesus' body. All who drink the consecrated wine drink Jesus' blood with their mouth, whether they have faith or not. Faith does not make the bread Jesus' body. Our lips do not make the wine Jesus' blood. We are not that powerful, but the word of God is the power, and faith simply believes what God has said. after the words of institution are spoken, we are certain that Christ is that bread and wine, for God does not lie. Let your eyes behold him, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Let your lips receive him who died to set you free. How blessed are we, lowly creatures steeped in sin. How blessed are we that he desires to enter our weak, frail, mortal bodies to make it his holy temple. If the fullness of his glory rested on the altar, then we would all perish. For no man can stand before him, much more receive him into his body. So God hides behind bread and wine. He hides in bread and wine so sinful creatures might touch and handle God without fear of destruction. So sinful creatures can touch and handle God, trusting in the salvation he gives. And that brings us to this second eating in the Holy Supper, to receive him in faith. All who eat the consecrated bread put Jesus' body into their own bodies, but not all who eat Jesus' body receive his blessings. Only those who eat in faith are blessed. To eat in faith is to believe that we are sinners and to trust that Christ will forgive us when we eat his body. Yes, all of our sins have been washed away in holy baptism, past, present, and future sins, all drowned in that flood. We are forgiven. What a wonderful gift baptism is. Yes, all our sins are forgiven as God speaks that absolution to us, and all our sins are forgiven when we eat and drink. Do you see how much your God loves you, that he has instituted not one but three different ways to show you his love and to give you his forgiveness? Faith does not question why, but faith joyfully makes use of all of these means of grace. Faith confesses its utter helplessness. What else can we do without God but wither away? So to Christ we go. Wherever Christ is, their faith goes. So we approached this altar, trusting God's word, "This is my body, given for you." We approached trusting that when we eat Jesus' body with our mouth, he will forgive us, give us life, and save us from all adversities. So what? If he already did all that, he desires to do it again, and faith desires to receive it again. St. Paul mentions unworthy eating in connection with the supper. There are two ways that a Christian can eat unworthily. One, he refuses to confess his sin. He doesn't repent. He doesn't take the commands of God seriously, and he lives against those commands, perhaps unknowingly, perhaps blatantly. But either way, he does not desire the forgiveness for his sin, so he eats unworthily by failing to repent. The second way, the Christian does not believe what the supper is, the body and blood of Christ, and does not believe the blessings that it gives, forgiveness, life, and salvation. In both cases, the Christian still eats Jesus' body with his mouth, but he does not receive the blessings of God. Instead, he actually eats judgment on himself. St. Paul says the Corinthians were weak, sick, and even died because they ate unworthily. Now, we will not say that our forced absence from the supper is because we were eating it unworthily. Neither will we say that we got cancer or a loved one died because they ate unworthily. St. Paul was inspired. We are not. But we will say this. We will say this is a time to reevaluate how we view the supper and why we eat it. We will say this is a time to realign our life to the commandments of God. We will say this is a time to confess our own sins and our mortality. So we will say this is a time to fix our eyes on the one thing needful. As the world scrambles around for a vaccine, we already know the cure. Christ. We have eaten him. Life is inside of us. Immortality lives in us. And though the body will perish, it will rise again. And then, with all the saints and angels and all the company of heaven, we will visibly gather with them to sing praises to the Lamb who has set us free. May God grant this to us all. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.